Support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette-Mail, offering dueling editorial pages that provide both sides of the story. Check it out on their website, wvgazettemail.com. Welcome to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And today we're going to talk about, should West Virginia welcome Syrian refugees? I'm joined, as always, by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Lori Lynn of the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Hey.
Hi, Scott.
And we have a special guest, former delegate John Ellum. He's a Republican in Wood County and now in private practice. And also, we should say, you have background that's very important to this story, right?
That's correct. I am Syrian and Lebanese. My four grandparents, three of them were born and came from Syria, and one was born in Lebanon, but lived most of her life in Syria.
You are taking a different tack than a lot of your fellow Republicans, at least in the House of Delegates, who have signed a petition saying that we should not be accepting Syrian refugees at this time. You think we should. Why?
I started an interest in the refugee issue several months ago, even before the horrific attacks in Paris. And actually, I've got to give credit to my wife, who is not of Syrian ancestry, but loves the culture. And she and I were talking a couple of months ago about, we have this large house, and, you know, it would be nice to take in a Syrian refugee family. And from there, I started getting involved with others.
I have a question, Mr. Ellum. What kind of advice or what would you say to some of your former colleagues who are taking a different tack on this?
Fear, it can be a powerful emotion. It can cause you, if you're not careful, to act emotionally rather than rationally. And when you do that, you start collectively labeling people. You know, well, Syrians are all ISIS. No, Syrians are not all ISIS. They're the victims of ISIS. They're fleeing ISIS. They're the victims of terrorism. You know, certainly we want security, but don't let fear overwhelm you and cause you to act and lead from an emotional basis rather than a rational basis.
Former Delegate John Ellum, Republican from Wood County, is actively working to bring Syrian refugees into our state and is of Syrian descent himself. Mr. Ellum, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate this.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Ellum is a part of a larger group of West Virginians that are working to bring Syrian refugees into the state. We spoke to one earlier this week. Nasreen Shbarak is an undergrad studying biology at West Virginia State University, and her husband's a doctor and a part of that group that's bringing people into West Virginia. Here she is.
West Virginia and the United States can accommodate so much more and would be enriched with really great people, would help the economy and everything. I know it's a question about security and stuff, and we're all for that, and we don't want the wrong people to be here, but still, the number have to really increase because the numbers of refugees are horrendous. There are so many of them, and so many are dying, and I think they would be a great addition to the community here.
Again, that's Nasreen Shbarak of West Virginia State University, part of a group that is working to bring Syrian refugees into West Virginia. We're talking about whether West Virginia should be accepting Syrian refugees, and if so, under what conditions. And we have a very special guest, Delegate Joshua Nelson, a Republican, who has circulated a petition. Talk a little bit about your petition.
Sure. The petition has, from my understanding, is a little over 15,000 signatures to this point, and well over 40 delegates have signed on in support of it as well. Basically, what we're asking the governor to do is to stand up for West Virginians until we are absolutely certain that the process of vetting refugees is concrete, that we don't allow somebody to slip through the system that will harm West Virginians. In no way are we trying to not reach out and help the world. West Virginia has always done that, but at the same time, we want to make sure the home front's safe.
Delegate Nelson, as I understand it, the process as it now stands requires registration with the United Nations, an interview by the UN. They have to be granted refugee status, then referred to the United States, then interviewed by people with the State Department. Then there are several background checks and then several fingerprint screenings has to be reviewed a number of times. There's a interview, there's some education required, there's medical screening, cultural orientation, multi-agency security check. I mean, it seems like it's a pretty thorough process right now. I mean, people come to this country in shipping containers, too, is the other.
Right. Yeah, that's a concern, but I'll tell you this much. I have a top secret security clearance from other job, and that process, for me, an American citizen, took well over 6 months. And we're talking, the process that you have just described are supposed to be completed by the end of the next fiscal year for 10,000 people. That's quite an undertaking in order for all that to be completed before we bring them here.
Delegate Nelson, some Republican presidential candidates have made a distinction between accepting Christian refugees versus refugees of the Muslim faith. Do you think that makes a difference one way or the other to you?
No, not at all. I mean, I think all refugees should go through the same process, and I don't think that we can do that. I mean, I don't think that is the proper way to go about it, is differentiating between what faith they particularly have.
So I just have one final question, Delegate.
Sure.
On one hand, I don't think anyone can argue about your concerns and a lot of our concerns about safety. On the other hand, very similar arguments about a fear of Nazis infiltrating refugees coming into America were used to severely limit the number of Jews that were fleeing Europe and Germany before World War II. And because of that, many of them got trapped and ended up dying in the Holocaust. I mean, there is a cost to keeping ourselves safe, which might be some refugees end up becoming victims. How do you respond to that?
You know, that's a very much a concern. And because of the fact that America is exceptional, we do have some obligation to help out the rest of the world. But at the same time, again, people from these parts of the world have caused a lot of havoc to the rest of the world. And I want to reiterate that, by and large, most people in that area just want to live peaceful lives. I've served with Middle Eastern people, Islamic people, that had my back. But what, you know, in regards to what happened in Paris, you know, these guys are posing as Syrian refugees. And until we are certain that process is adequate, we have to be very careful.
Delegate Nelson, thank you for being here.
Thanks for allowing me to come on your show. I really appreciate it.
So we've been hearing different voices, and, you know, it's funny. They're not so far apart from each other. Delegate Nelson is not saying keep them all out, and former Delegate Ellum isn't saying let everybody in without a check. What do y'all think?
Well, I think it's a shame that, you know, Paris was, what, 10 days ago? And, you know, the bodies hadn't even cooled before we had turned our attention from that to kind of a, you know, social media meme fight about, you know, who cares more about America. I just think it's to me, it seems lazy in a way that this is what we're talking about versus, you know, what happened in Paris? How can we prevent that from happening again? You know, ISIS has said we want to come, you know, New York and Washington, D.C. are next. I mean, this just seems almost like the easy conversation. And, you know, again, I'm happy to have it, but it seems a little bit beside the point.
The only thing I would say is we're entering the holiday season, and as we do, I think a lot of people who listen to this are getting ready to celebrate Christmas. I just want to mention in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew, the narrative of Jesus' birth, shortly after that, Jesus and his parents have to go into exile as political refugees when Herod orders the slaughter of children in Bethlehem. So, you know, let's keep in mind the refugees and all those who aren't getting a lot of safety or a lot of security or a lot of sleep this holiday season.
Rick, you were talking about sleep. I don't know if you saw, but there is a article recently about a successful brand of podcasts, and I thought maybe we should advertise ourselves as this. These are podcasts that put you to sleep.
There you have it.
Wow.
One of them is Game of Thrones, where this guy talks in a boring fashion about Game of Thrones until you go to sleep. So I was thinking maybe we could expand into that category, or maybe we're already there. I don't know. We should ask our listeners.
Maybe we could go really, really long, like 7 hours, and take turns droning. That might be a...
Yeah, there are really long podcasts out there. I don't quite know how people do it.
If you use the front porch to go to sleep, let us know, okay? And when you wake up again in the morning, try to remember, shoot us an email or something, sfin@wvpublic.org. And we also want to hear about what your ideas are for future episodes. Who do you want Rick, Lori, and I to talk to?
And so one thing I'm kind of proud of but heartbroken about, one of the podcasts we did on broadband was a huge mega hit, apparently. It was shared hundreds of times. It was like even more than my spooky Halloween special, you know, and I'm trying to get over that. But shout out to Senator Chris Walters for hitting one out of the ballpark.
According to Facebook, a lot of you have really crappy internet service and you're not happy about it.
It's kind of ironic, right? Because, I mean, how are you listening to this, if you know, unless you're listening to it when it airs, you know, on the radio? You're listening to it over a broadband connection, presumably.
Yeah, I guess maybe just a lot of buffering going on there as you're listening. So support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette Mail. It's bringing you both sides of the story on their dueling editorial pages. Check it out, and check out Rick Wilson and Lori Lynn on each side when you go to wvgazettemail.com. And this is The Front Porch. Subscribe on iTunes, and please, please leave a review and some comments while you're there. It helps us out a lot. And